My, 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 look at this. An hour of gardening greatness is on the way. Judy Sharp is here, and you've finally got some headphones on. You were struggling there while the weather was on.
Well, you tied a knot so I couldn't reach it. You didn't want me to talk.
I was not the last person there, Judy. So
okay, righty. I'll excuse you, Mark.
Look, hopefully lots of calls today, 49216216, but wet weather, Judy. I'm sure we'll cover some of that today.
Oh, okay. We've got to talk about the lawns now. We've got to talk about the gardens. They'll all need treatment after the little bit of rain we've had. Cyclamen are in, camellia japonicas need work doing, gardenias need work. You want me to keep going?
That sounds like we will be very, very busy.
I think we might be, Mark.
All right. 49216216 if you have a question for Judy Sharp as we crack open Gardening Talkback this afternoon on 2NURFM. Judy, in case you might not have noticed, we've had a little bit of rain over the last couple of days and nights.
Well, I have to tell you, Mark, if it had been as heavy as yesterday, I was going to have a headache and couldn't come in today.
Oh, no.
But, you know, I woke up and the sun was out and I thought, oh, well, I'll go.
We fooled you with a bit of sunshine. Now, when that sort of happens, I mean, our gardens don't really know what to think, do they? Because we get all that heavy rain, then you get bits of sunshine back and back into the rain again. So, I mean, what are we to do?
Okay. Now, what would you do with your lawn, Mark?
I knew you'd do this. Look, it's quite simple. Try and avoid mowing it. It's like, yeah. No, I did give it a mow right before the rain started, so I knew it was coming, so
oh,
I got
right,
in there.
Right, okay. But we've got to do more important things than that. Mm. You know, when you've had that kind of heavy rain, you need to give your lawn some lime to sweeten the soil up. And your garden will need dolomite. Okay?
I can see
you nodding with me there.
Yep.
And if the lawns need a little bit of fertiliser, why wouldn't you do it now? Would it be wise?
Okay. So in particular, what would be the big advantage of doing it now while we've got all the rain happening?
Oh, because you've got time left for growing.
Uh-huh.
And also too, the rain would have stunted the growth a little bit. We've had a lot of sunshine, so all of a sudden the lawns will be saying, what was that? You know, so I think at the moment, if you're a very keen lawn man. Now, there are keen lawn men out there, and you're nodding.
I'm not one of them, no, not at all.
Okay, well, they definitely need to fertilise and just encourage a bit of growth, because what we've got growth now up till, what would you say, June?
Yeah, then it gets really those crisper, colder mornings and just tops off a bit.
Yeah, so we've really only got May, haven't we?
Yeah, another 4 to 6 weeks if.
Yeah. But the dolomite is sweetening up the soil in the garden. So, look, they're both things to go out and do, very important things to do.
All right. In terms of our plants that are out and about as well, I mean, depending on the sort of plants we have, there'll be some that would be like there's a bit too much water, that some that don't like a lot of, you know, as opposed to others.
Well, Mark, most of the things that enjoy this period of time, they probably enjoy water. Mm. Okay, for example, camellia japonicus. You were going to say that instead of me then, I know. They're now producing buds for winter, and they definitely will need disbudding. That's an interesting word, isn't
Very
it?
Very much so, which means?
Take off a bud.
Okay.
So if they get a cluster, might have 6 buds on, well, you could remove half of them. So if you only had 2 buds, you wouldn't take any off. 4 buds, you could take a few off, because they are big flowers, Mark. And so when they open, they push one another. And then they
go very competitive.
Oh, they are. And then they go brown. So it's a waste of time. Mm. So it's definitely time now to disbud and to allow the flowers to open. And, you know, I mean, japonicas are different than Sasanqua camellias. Japonicas don't like the sun. Well, they're not getting it, are they?
Not a lot at the moment.
Not at the moment, that's for sure. So, you know, we have got a lot of jobs to do, to be honest. Even though we're heading up towards the end of April, it is time, when the weather finds up, to go out and divide your agapanthus and your clivias and your native violets. Why do you think that would be, Mark?
Why would that be, Judy? You try and trick me, but like
you are
the expert in this. I am not.
Okay, because they will be flowering again in spring. So, not the agapanthus. They flower. They're the ones with the blue flower heads on them that you get out all along, you know, gardens in Christmas. You have seen them, Mark, I know.
Very much so.
They're lovely. They're lovely. If you haven't got any in your garden, I can bring some in for you.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, so it is time to do work on agapanthus, clivias and native violets to get them ready for spring because, really, we've only got, what, May, June, July?
Yeah, then the weather sort of starts to turn back again.
It does, yeah. You know what, Mark, do you think all our listeners are housebound today? You're not out in the garden.
No, it's not the day. I wouldn't be out there today. I'm umbrella and gumboots and dolomite, no thank you.
Well, we've got to stimulate them a little bit and get them out there because there are things happening. Gardenias, they get very yellow leaves after all this rain we've had. Not that we've had much rain. You know what? Yesterday was a day for geese.
Okay.
Have you ever had geese, Mark?
No, I have not.
I had Desi and Lucy for 20 years.
Really?
Yeah, okay. two geese, yep. And they loved our swimming pool. But then we moved and we had a dam and Desi and Lucy loved the dam.
I bet they did.
They really did.
Gardening Talkback is the name of the game and us, of course, coming through for you, Judy. First of all, good afternoon, Ian at Hamilton. What's happening for you, Ian?
Hello, Ian.
Hello, how are you this afternoon?
Oh, very fine. Happy. I'm in a dry spot and I'm working with Mark today, so I'm really very spoiled.
Very good.
And you've got a very interesting topic and I'm sure, Mark, red robin, they're a hedge. You know those, don't you?
Fittinia?
Oh, yeah. Have you got them growing at home?
Correct. We have, yeah. We've got a hedge around our pool. It's been there now for about 20 years, but they're slowly... one by one, they're dying off.
Oh, okay, Ian. Now, any clue about down in the soil, would you have any of those nasty cockchafer grubs eating the roots?
No, they're the little white ones, are they?
Yeah, you know, they look like witchetty grubs.
Yes, no, not that I've... The dead ones that I've pulled out, I've pulled out about three or four now, there hasn't been anything around them at all.
Okay, and they're just suddenly dying.
Yeah, just suddenly dying off, yeah. And not all next to each other. There might be one here and then, yeah, three or four plants later there's another one and that sort of thing. So they're not next to each other either.
Right, see, that's why I'm concerned they might be the cockchafer grub. But now at Hamilton, what's your soil like there, Ian?
Sandy.
Sandy. But we've had plenty of rain, so they wouldn't be lacking water, would they?
No, not at all. We've got bore water, which I put on the sprinklers in during summer a fair bit as well.
Yeah. Ian, look, all I can suggest, you've had a good look at the soil sample, haven't you?
Yes. No, I haven't had the soil tested, but just when I just pull the dead ones out, I just look at them. There's nothing around the roots, though.
Yeah, look, probably time to sort test that soil, I think.
Right.
Because they're very hardy creatures, you know. They grow like a weed.
Right. Yeah. They're really nice, actually, too.
Oh, they're lovely. Right. And do yours flower well, or do you prune them back before they do?
No, they flower. I prune them after they flower.
Right, okay. Look, I wish I could give you more help, Ian, but I think you need to get the soil tested now.
All right, best of luck with everything there for you. Now, Judy, you mentioned your geese a couple of moments back, and I believe Anthony at the junction, you ended up having one of... Judy's geese, Anthony. What's the story?
Hello, Anthony.
Hello, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well. Is my baby still okay?
Well, no.
Oh.
No, Bruce has gone to goose heaven, I'm afraid.
Did he?
Bill has gone to...
When did that happen?
Just recently, Jude.
Oh, Anthony, but geese can live till they're 90. Weren't you feeding him properly?
Yes, I was feeding him properly, Jude.
You were overworking him with all the ladies, were you?
No. He,
but what a way to go.
He lost the battle with a fox, Judy.
Oh, was he not in at night?
Well, he was, but the fox was a little more cunning than the goose.
And he was probably protecting the ladies, I'd say.
Yes, but you will be happy to know that his legacy will live on because the goose manure is getting composted to go on the garden tour.
All right, okay.
There you go. That's one way to look at it.
Anthony, I will talk to you next time I see you, and you need to give me a big hug after that information.
All right. Thanks for that, Anthony. Good afternoon, Gary at Adamstown. We're looking to have some information about feeding staghorns and elkhorns. Gary, what's going on?
Hello, Gary.
Hello. Thanks for this call. I'm just inquiring. To move them along a little, they seem very slow and they're not getting a bit brown. And I give them banana, like chop up bananas and put there the skin.
Yeah.
But I want anything else like salt seaweed or the seaweed they put around plants and things like that.
Oh, look, they can be very tetchy, you know, staghorns and elkhorns. When they're going brown, are you keeping the water up to them? Silly question at the moment.
Yeah, I think it might be too much water, actually.
Right, okay. So what have you got, staghorns out in the open or under shelter?
Semi-sun.
Right.
But which is the difference? The skinny one with staghorns, the bigger one with elkhorns? It's confusing.
No. The staghorns are the big ones.
Oh, yeah, they're lovely. I've got beauty.
And the elkhorns, they take more sun than the staghorns.
Yeah. A bit tougher, yeah.
Yeah, a bit tougher, dear. So maybe have a real look at your location and see if you need to move them around a little bit.
Get a bit more sun, yeah.
They wouldn't be lacking water at the moment, dear, but, you know, even try putting some tea at the back.
Tea leaves,
if you drink real tea.
Yeah.
Okay, Gary, look, I hope that helps you. Give us a ring back and let us know how you went with the move.
Thank you so much, Gary. Yes, and I imagine, Jude, you mean real tea leaves, not like the herbal infusions that not real tea.
Well, you know, Mark, isn't there only real tea in a teapot?
Oh, but
not in a bag.
Fair enough. That's a good point.
Not in a bag.
Heading to Rutherford now for you, Karen, and your potato plants, Karen, are being eaten by some Asian ladybugs. What's happening, Karen?
Oh. Hello, Karen.
Yeah. Hello, Judy. I have a problem. Every time I plant potatoes, I get like them, I call them evil ladybugs.
Yeah.
And I've tried like spraying water and soap and all that stuff on them and nothing's really stopping them.
Right, okay. Yeah, so do you plant them like in a mound so, you know, you dig back over to cover the plants, potatoes?
Yes,
you
do
that?
Yep.
And so they're on the leaves, are they?
Yes, on the leaves. Like, they completely eat the top of it.
Right.
And then, like, they kill it, and then I'll dig the potatoes up, and I'll get, like, nice-sized chats, but not proper potatoes.
Not good. Okay, now, have you tried spraying the leaves with Malathon?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, try that, because that will probably get rid of the ladybugs.
Yeah, the evil ladybugs.
The evil ladybugs, not nice ladybugs. We better qualify that.
Yes,
so try doing that, Karen, but as long as you're still getting potatoes, that's good.
I'm still getting potatoes, and I'll just go out there and, like, pick them off manually.
All right,
and they're little larvae things or little babies that are all spiky and evil looking.
Yeah, well, if you hit them with a Malathon, they won't be spiky and evil looking any longer.
They'll be compost.
Okay, try that, Karen, and give us a ring back in a week or so and let us know how you're going with it.
Best of luck, Karen. We'll stick in the Maitland area now for you, Keith at East Maitland. What's happening, Keith?
Hello.
I've got a couple of Chinese tallow. They're I think they're probably pushing 8 metres high. And I just want to trim them back down to about 4 metres. And I'm just wondering what time of year is best to do that.
Oh, look, I'd be pruning them after they, you know, coming up to spring because, you know, you lose a lot of leaves, won't you?
Yep. Yeah, probably 2 million leaves, yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely wait until spring's coming, Keith. And as Mark and I were just talking about, it's really only 3 months away or 2 months away now. Yeah, so I'd wait till then. Enjoy the look of them and then cut them back then.
All right, cheers, thanks.
Thank you, Keith, for the call. Bye.
All right, best of luck. Well, Judy, we've cleared the way now. We've dealt with a ton of people. We're ready for some more calls. What do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we've got you know, you've got a glass of water, I've got a glass of water, we can have a quick drink and we'll be ready in the voice to go again.
All right. You, Pam, have done from Gateshead. You have a question for Judy today on pruning roses. What's happening there, Pam?
Yeah, Judy, is it too late to prune roses? Mine keep blooming and I just can't, I don't know what to do.
No, you know what? You and I are both lucky because a week or two ago I thought, I'm just going to prune off all those dead flowers and now I've got lovely new shoots.
Yeah.
And one of my sons said, you shouldn't have pruned those roses. And I said, why? Because it's getting too close to pruning time. And I said, yeah, but pruning time in our area is July and in the vineyard up in the valley it's August. So I said, no, I'm going to give them another shot. But, Pam, after I pruned them, I hit them with sudden impact.
Oh, okay.
And I've got some lovely new growth coming.
Yeah, well, I've got on the flowers, I've got little, little bunny. And honestly, I clip one, I've got roses in the house everywhere. It just keeps going berserk.
Well, you know what, Pam? If you can just give them a light prune, I only mean a light prune, hit them with sudden impact if you've got some.
All right, and put some dolomite in now.
And dolomite, definitely. You were listening earlier. Good on you, Pam. Good on you, darling. Okay, so dolomite first, water that in, and then hit them with sudden impact.
Water it in, or that thing will need to water it in at the moment.
Well, I don't know. Is it still raining?
It was a minute ago when I got wet coming into the house.
Oh, right.
Might be a case of just stand back, Pam, and let it all just happen.
Yeah, I think so. Run out with your dolomite and your raincoat.
Throw it in. Yeah, that's why fertilising the lawn is a good idea to do it now.
It is, definitely, yeah. Excellent, Pam. Thank you, and good luck with the roses. But no, I pruned mine, so well done.
Best of luck with everything for you, Pam. 49216216 if you have a question for Judy. And Judy, always good to have our keen gardeners that are listening to some of the tips that you throw out, particularly early on.
Yeah, it is really, isn't it? And also too, sometimes they'd be hesitating about pruning roses now because most people in Newcastle and the Valley prune July and August. So we've got a way to go.
Yeah.
Really, we have. And we've had such wonderful roses this season for some unknown reason. You know, they've been absolutely covered in roses. So, you know, you've got all this long, long growth, Mark. You'd have it on yours, really long growth. And so, you know...
Do I really strike you as someone that is growing roses out here? Like...
No, well, you knew about Fittinias, so I'm, you know, now you've dropped that one on me. I'm just, you know, think you're a star now.
Got to keep you in suspense. Judy, you want to trap me on something again, don't you?
No, I don't want to trap you, dear. I just, it's something that I feel that you need to be aware of. Now, when you planted your poppies on Anzac Day, which is a tradition, isn't it?
It is.
It's a tradition. Did you actually fertilise or anything before you planted them?
So you know damn well that I didn't plant anything, but okay. but if I was to have done that, would yes be the right answer?
Yes, you would have put poultry manure in a week before. Now, I know a lot of people wait till after Anzac Day to plant their poppies, but they must fertilise with poultry manure a week before they plant them. So you'll remember that for next year, Mark.
Look, if Greg's not here this time next year, I will just remember that. I'll pull that from the filing cabinet at the back of the brain box and bring it up.
When you plant them, put some in a pot.
Okay, excellent. Okay. Do we have a couple of other things you'd like to cover? Because we have a few minutes. We've got plenty of time, actually.
Well, we need to cover gardenias.
Let's do it.
Gardenias, they're developing yellow leaves. Why would that happen? After the...
Rain?
Yes, after the heavy rain. Mm. And all the elements are leaching out of the soil. So what we've got to do now, and gardenias are the beautiful perfume flowers, Mark. You know what they're like. They're white and they're on green bush.
I would have got the last bit right.
You would have got the last bit right. Anyway, look, it's fun working with you, Mark. I enjoy it.
Oh, because you just throw all this stuff at me, and you know that this is not my strong suit.
But you do roll with it.
Well, you got to roll with
an experienced man on radio, you see. But anyway, we've got to do that. We've got to start looking after those gardenias. Mm. Now, I'm sure. Most people that are listening that grow gardenias would know we've got to apply sulfate of potash and chelated iron. Because they'll be starting to flower again soon, and then you've got to dig in a little cow manure. Sulfate of potash.
Again, it just comes back to that. But the time of year, the rain as well, we just need to get the fertiliser in there.
Yeah, exactly right. But you use cow manure on gardenias because they love acidic soil. So, you know, it's a good one to remember, that one.
All right. We have all but a couple of minutes left. 4921 6216 if you have a question for Judy this afternoon, because I reckon, Judy, we can scrounge up two more gardens for you to sort of throw your keen gardening brain across today.
Ooh, I want to do something better than going out in the garden.
Okay.
Well, it's going to rain again, so I'm going to do inside.
Okay, so let's cover that quickly, because we've got some calls coming through, but let's cover inside.
Well, yesterday I turned the aircon on warmer from colder, and I suddenly remembered my maidenhair fern. Now, I do wax lyrical about maidenhairs all the time when Greg's here, and the problem is people love to grow maidenhairs inside, Mark, but they forget that maidenhairs love water. Now, particularly when you start those heaters up or the fires up.
They really need it.
They really need some water, dear. So what I do is I water every second day, and then the alternate day I spray with a spray bottle, just with water in it, nothing fancy.
Yep.
And that really makes them grow and keeps them healthy right through winter. So we've got little things like that you need to do now with your indoor plants, but you don't. You don't fertilise indoor plants during winter.
Just a couple of things to remember, because, I mean, whilst the weather's cooling down, we'll probably try and keep the temperature up a little bit with air conditioning and heaters and stuff. So.
Yeah, and it's common sense, isn't it, really, that you've got to look at the plants inside now.
For sure.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Terry at Fern Bay. You're looking for some soil treatment. What's happening there for you, Terry?
My wife and I, she plants flowers and I've got veggies, and over the summer period, we've used the tomato dust, the fruit fly sprays or poisons, and we get lots of bugs, lots of different things, and we treat the vegetables and flowers. But then we also fertilise the ground for the roses and dahlias and different plants. But we're suffering, and I don't know what it is, a bug or a fungus in the soil. And I'm just wondering if there is a soil treatment that doesn't take out all the good guys, such as the worms and bacteria, the good bacteria in the soil. Is there something I can treat the soil with, please?
Now, Terry, are you sure it's a fungus? You haven't got the cockchafer grubs, the white ones, under the soil doing damage?
I did see one, but that's all. No, I don't believe so. And I don't know what it is, a fungus. I did hear you earlier mention that you can get soil tested. So I don't know whether that's a move, because can you get it tested for different bugs or stuff? Or can you? Is it just like for minerals and stuff in the soil?
Yeah, well, when I suggested that today, I was talking too about alkalinity and acidic. So... that probably wouldn't do the job for you, I would imagine. You might need a fairly fancy soil test. And I'm not too sure who you'd go to get that these days. But look, you've dug around underneath, haven't you?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It was beautiful soil. We had a great crop this year.
Right.
Great crop of tomatoes, great crop of flowers. But we were fighting the whole way. Like, we had to fight the fruit fly right through to the, you know, different funguses and bugs, but we treated it with your fungicides and herbicides, insecticides, and I do keep bees, so I've got to be very mindful
to keep
clear of them.
Yeah.
So it was a difficult year, but we did have a lot of success. But we're now thinking that there's something in the soil that we may not be able to get rid of, or we may, I don't know, but is there something like that? And my question is there something I can treat the soil with that won't damage the good guys?
Look, that's a difficult one, Terry, particularly, you know, when you've got bees around and you're still getting good crops.
Well, no, summer's over. It's finished now.
Right, but you had good crop. Good cropping.
Oh, yeah, it was a pretty good year, yeah.
Well, Terry, why change what you're doing?
Well,
I mean, if you're beating it now and you're getting good cropping, you don't want to, you know, risk the bees and, you know, all the other lovely things in the garden, do you? If you're getting good cropping, I think you'd have to get a very specific test done, a soil test.
Right.
But you have been using a fungicide, have you at all?
Yeah. Mainly, it's more to my wife's dahlias. She's concerned about them with the tubers in the ground going rotten. But there's also been a very wet year as far as I'm concerned.
Yes,
we are on very sandy soil, but we do irrigate. So it's a bit of a trick. That was the question. As you say, it's a difficult one. I don't know what to do. I can keep going with the bees and the vegetables and spraying that. Yeah, I get that. We did buy in some very, what I thought was high quality soil, like with mushroom compost and chicken manure in it. It's just that my wife believes that there's something in the soil that's to the detriment of the dahlias and the tubers in the ground.
Right, okay. So she doesn't lift them, Terry.
When you say lift them,
She dig them? Yes, when
for winter, like pull them out.
When they've finished flowering and died down, doesn't she dig her dahlia bulbs out?
Yes, she does.
Oh, right, okay. Look, well, that's half the solution, I think, if she's doing that. So while the dahlia bulbs are out, maybe you could apply a fungicide in the soil then.
Yeah, that's a thought. That is a thought. See, I don't know what devil I'm up against, whether it's a bacteria or a virus or a fungicide, but it should be clean. Like, to me, the sand we're on is very clean. We're Fern Bay. It's pretty much Stockton Beach stuff. And then we've brought in the soil that's very common at the wholesalers, the landscape garden places. So I just, we're a bit beside ourselves on which way to go, but I would take your advice. Just push ahead and just keep doing what we're doing while we're getting good cropping.
Terry, I think that's my best suggestion for you today. So give us a ring, please, later on down the track, because we're running out of time now. Give us a ring down the track and let us know what solution you came up with.
All right, thank you so much, Terry. And you too, Judy. We'll catch you next time for another Gardening Talkback.
Oh, I'd love to have you on. Are you coming next time too?
Someone will be. Probably Greg. All right, that's Gardening Talkback for today.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.